Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's now time for news headlines with Molly
on a big party show on Channel 94.1.
Resignation of President Trump's chief economic advisor could be have a major impact on the stock market today. Gary Cohn, a former president of Goldman Sachs, he announced his resignation from the Trump administration this week. Cohn reportedly wasn't on board with Trump's plan to put tariffs on imported steel and aluminum. So some investors are worried that the tariffs could spark a trade war internationally. Because of his resignation, the U.S. stock market is looking to take a tumble today.
What was the term that he used in a speech yesterday? Trump said they were going to impose these tariffs, but in a loving way.
Ooh, how do you do that?
That was the quote. Well, he was saying it like we're a global family.
Oh, okay.
He said, we're going to do it in a loving way.
Yeah. Hugs.
But it's just a reset. He's saying that this is a reset.
Okay.
It's not a war. It's not a trade war. We've been getting these bad deals. This is a better deal. And they're going to add it in a loving way. Issue a lot of this is with steel is it's like it's hurting Canada.
Okay.
So a lot of like the steel unions like,
NAFTA
okay,
stuff.
You want to throw these tariffs on there, don't do it on Canadian steel. And and then everybody else jumps in. And don't do it on ours and don't do it on ours. And
right. Well, and then you just wonder, I mean, locally, like for Americans, like what is that going to do impact, you know, for products that use steel and aluminum? Like what's the price of a car going to be now?
Well, that's what they're talking about.
With the tariffs.
It's funny that instead of going with a car, the news headlines are all, what about beer? Is beer going to cost more money
the aluminum
now?
Cans, or maybe they'll just go to get glass or construction. Does that change how much you spend on, you know,
on things, you know?
On, you know, construction? I mean, so it's just, it has a rolling effect. It's not just words, so we'll see what ends up happening. Yesterday, the vice president was in the area. He was over in Iowa at the Mid-America Center, speaking to a big group of people there, and then he also appeared last night at a campaign dinner for Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts at the Omaha Marriott downtown. So
the paper interview is a general contractor who drove down from Kansas City to see the speech, and they asked him what he thought about it. As a general contractor, what he thinks about the tariffs, and he says, there will be some cost up front, even to my business, but that's the price you pay to reposition yourself in the market, and this president understands business.
All right.
There you go.
That's loving.
In a loving way.
In loving. Hugs. Kisses.
That is loving.
Tariffs. There's a new bill coming from a state senator here in Omaha. Down at the legislature, they want to pass the first major update to child passenger safety regulations here in the state of Nebraska. It's the first time since 2002. Lawmakers would like to bump up the age. Currently, the age is 6 for children to have to ride in federally approved safety seats.
At 7, they're sprung free, right?
Mm-hmm. They can go. I mean, I don't know if you can go so far as the front seat, I suppose. Well, but, I mean, you have to be buckled in.
Yeah, you always got to be buckled in.
Have to be buckled
in. That is the law and the rule of life. You should always be buckled in. Do you guys wear your seatbelts in back seat if you're a passenger?
In the back seat, no.
I'm guilty of that. I don't.
I do. It's just force of habit now.
Yeah,
but that's not what they all really care about. Like, they want us to wear a seat. It's mainly that darn front seat.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a lot of parents that... So the state law, what they're talking about, there's been fatalities in the state, 9 and under, is the breakdown. They're going off of 2016 numbers, and they were saying there's far too many 9-year-old and younger fatalities and accidents because the child wasn't properly restrained.
Could be prevented.
There's parents, and that does seem like... Now, some of it is operator error. I know that there's parents that they say as the kid gets bigger, he doesn't fit in the chair, but...
Yeah, and you don't...
This would be the idea that you'd have to keep the kid in the chair till they're 8.
Yes, so they'd have to be in a federally approved booster seat until, or, you know, safety restraint until 8. And then the bill would also prohibit children younger than 8 from riding in the front seat.
Unless
they say, unless all rear seats are occupied by children or the vehicle is that standard cab pickup, you know, where there's no back seat. It's just okay. you in the front seat.
That makes sense.
But in those cases, obviously, they would still, I mean, I wouldn't suggest putting a four-year-old or something. A lot of it has to do with, especially with the passenger seat, that airbag, where it'll impact them because they're not a full-grown person.
Yeah,
it's meant for, like, an adult-sized person to be safety. Speaking of children, Lego sales are down for the first time in 13 years. How is this possible?
Legos? Really?
Like, they're picking my pocket every other week as I get ready for birthday parties.
Well, what the question is, if the sales are down, what are people doing?
That's what I'm curious.
What are you doing out there? What are you replacing
are they buying
Legos
knockoff? Have you ever attempted to get those knockoff Legos?
That's it.
They look cool. The only reason I don't buy them is because I'm like, I don't think the kids will go for it if it doesn't have the Lego brand. But there's...
Yeah.
Lego sets are just so neat. I mean, it's just, they do such a good job. You know, the Millennium Falcon for the new Han Solo movie, mm-hmm. They're going to be releasing that this month.
The problem
later
is
this
price.
Summer, Hogwarts.
But they've priced themselves out for so long.
Yeah.
In some regards, yes. But like, I was really surprised. So they had this huge Harry Potter Hogwarts set coming out in August. And it's got like 10 minifigs and all this stuff. It's only $99.
Only
$99.
My point is that for the size of that Lego set, I thought I was going to be looking at like $150 or more.
Do they do? I haven't bought Legos in forever.
Okay.
All right. Come in numbers, you know, like a puzzle. I'm assuming these are like puzzles now when buying the future's puzzle. Everyone, there is just a thing. Instead of when we were a kid, we had to actually create. We didn't have to.
You can buy buckets of Legos, or you can buy Lego sets where they comes with instructions.
You have the map, and you got to sit there and do it. Basically, most parents have to build the Legos for their kids.
All right.
You know, they age them out. You know, they'll say like, oh, this is good for 5 to 7 or 8 and up or 12 and up. I mean, those really crazy sets where you're like, I mean, you need basically an engineering degree.
Mm-hmm.
One missed brick. And you're like, I don't know. I don't think this thing can fly. But I was just surprised to find out that Lego set sales were partially weak in North America and Europe. And
Do they have a theory why?
I don't know. The company has grown too big and complex. They say that maybe they've overreached, but it surprises me.
All their different brands, there's a million different subsets. Remember Factory?
Yeah.
There's stuff where it's almost like an Erector set. I mean, there's like different classes, almost like the Boy Scouts.
There's Duplo Eagle for Scouts, like the little Weeblo. Guys.
There's everything.
There's
those are the
scale
big blocks, Duplo. Yeah. And then they have like the intermediate blocks now. That was the new thing. There's like these in-between blocks before you get to like the big guy Lego blocks. I mean, it really is. It's like, it's sort of like brownies or
I feel like if I had
upstairs.
A party and we have a decent sized coffee table, if I just laid a bunch of Legos out, I feel as if that party would turn into a Lego party with adults.
It's so fun.
Because people love them so much.
You guys all know Brian O'Malley, the chef.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the O'Malley's growing up, they're great. St. Robert's family. Sean and Brian O'Malley had a guest room in their house that they weren't using, and they let the boys put their Legos in it. Uh-huh. So it was an empty room, no furniture, just Legos. And they used sawhorses. Their dad let them put sawhorses in there, and then basically tables or drywall.
So cool.
Oh my God.
So it was an above ground. You could stand next to it. And then to me, it was the entire world of Legos. So they had a full city. They had the different genres, like the Knight's Castle. And then they were really into the cityscape. So you remember when you were a kid, there were some kids where you went to their house for a sleepover, and they were on a whole nother level of playing.
Yeah.
I mean, it blew your mind, and you're like, can I spend the night every night?
Oh, my gosh.
The O'Malley's were like that, dude. You got in there, and it was like, you have a Lego room!
The best thing ever, and I will say this for Lego fans out there that don't know about this, they have Lego tape.
Lego
tape. So it is restickable. So it is a strip of double, you know, like the two prongs or whatever, and it comes in different colors, red, all the colors of the rainbow, and it will stick to walls, furniture, upside down, any kind of surface.
That.
You could put it on your bike. You can do whatever, but it peels off.
Does it take the wallpaper with it, though?
No.
You sure?
It doesn't.
If it's sticking, it stays on long enough, it will.
No, it doesn't. The kids have been pulling it off and pulling it on. So the deal is that you can put it, like they put it on the ceiling above their bed.
And then you can put Legos on it.
Yep. You can build stuff off of it. They put it on the bookshelves so like they can keep their minifigs like all climbing all the way up the... What's a minifig? Those are the little guys, the little Lego guys that come with the sets. They're called minifigs or minifigurines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're still just like what we had when we were little.
Yeah, same guy, same size. But this Lego tape is absolutely mind-blowing.
Well, after today's show, I'm sure Legos will go up. See, it's the stories that people aren't buying Legos.
Wylene has
a very large family. She's one of seven, so there's tons of kids. So from time to time, we'll have people over and stuff like that, the family, and and just a million kids running around. And I've always like wrestled with, what do we do? How do we keep all these little kids occupied? So there's, you know, old toys from Oliver and Colin and stuff like that that they play with and stuff like that and guns. Thank you for the idea because I'm going to have a Lego room. I need something to keep them out of my way.
Oh, it's so fun. They go nuts.
You're going to set aside a dedicated room?
Well, just in the basement. There's nothing down there anyway. You know.
Even the older kids do it. I mean, that's the crazy thing. We had a party and, you know, some friends of ours brought their, like, you know, seventh graders and you're like, oh God, what are they going to do? They're going to hate this.
Party.
And they dove into the Legos, you know, and they were showing the kids stuff that they could do with Legos or you know, cause they're obviously 12 years old. They have a whole new level of Lego building. That's the thing. That's all the kids ever talk about. I want to be a master builder.
Doing Legos, huh?
I'm like, get paid what? $12 a year.
Well, and then that's how a lot of them slide into Minecraft.
Yeah.
You know, that Lego Minecraft brain. You know,
building a world.
They lend to each other very well.
It's neat stuff. I'm surprised that they're saying that sales are dipping. Lord knows, not in my household. And finally, if you find yourself on a team or in a profession traditionally dominated by men, if you add some female colleagues, they say that the male perspective can change. They found that 14% of a 14% increase in the way men thought when it was a mixed gender team as far as like gender roles, you know, so guys that initially were maybe like in, they did this in, I believe, Norway, and they put some women in the Norwegian military squads, and the guys came back and said, you know what, I think we do work better together. It does work better when it's combo, when there's two.
That's,
you know,
good. That's good.
So it was
thing.
Interesting. It just like raised awareness. There was like a big increase in guys who was like, you know what, maybe I should be doing some housework. Maybe it shouldn't just be ladies.
You're saying so it's beauty calms the savage beast.
Yeah,
women have an effect on the macho man.
Ooh.
Right. That guys all of a sudden are like, oh, wait, it's not just, you know.
Doesn't it cut the other way? Would it cut the other way if it was just all women in on task based and then you added a man?
I think it's good to add.
Would it alter
I think
it's
good to mix things up. Sorry. I think perspective of how the other half is living is always, I mean, that's you're never going to have a
problem.
All
be together in the middle of this, you know, Me Too movement and all this stuff that's happened, some like workplace people have suggested maybe men and women can't work together.
Yeah.
Not in all professions, maybe in some, but you know, worked together relatively short time.
That you're right.
I mean,
in
the workplace, you know, whoever's fault it is, obviously they're pointing at guys that some men can't handle. Talk to guys that are in hiring positions. They say that they'll never hire a pretty woman. I know that sounds terrible. That's like reverse sexism, but they won't hire a pretty woman. They're like, it's a problem.
You know,
they immediately think of the guys that couldn't handle it or might make a comment.
And that's sad because it goes right back to those bad apples again. You know, it's just... Well,
yeah, I would say the problem is probably the guy that can't control himself rather than the pretty woman that's qualified. I mean, I think that...
But she doesn't get hired because of that. I mean, people, and they're going to overreact now that they're like... And I've even heard some, you know, the female feminists that are like, look, quit treating us women like wilting flowers that are so sensitive because that's going to hurt
all
men hiring, going, I don't know, do I want to hire her? Is it going to, you know, we all going to grab her?
You're listening to The Big Party Morning Show.
Here, Brittany, hello. You're on The Big Party Show. What's up?
I drove past in Omaha the other day a Lego used buy-sell trade store called Bricks and Minifigs.
What? Wait, I'm sorry.
I
missed the first part of it.
Hear you.
What did you say?
Okay. Buy, sell, trade store for Legos.
Yeah.
Oh, there is one.
Bricks and Minifigs.
Really?
Bricks and Minifigurines, Minifigs. All right.
And it's like a secondary market?
What's the address? Where's it at?
132nd Center. I think it's right next to Pepper Jack's.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well,
a little specialty show store.
We'll check that out.
Like get more Legos at a cheaper price and stuff like that. I thought it was kind of unique. I had to Google it when I saw the title. I was like, what do they sell at Bricks and Minifigs?
You got to go back in there and check it out in person. So it's not used Legos, right?
No, it is. But it's new, used, and I think custom sets.
Oh, really? Okay,
secondary,
so people are getting rid of them because they don't use them anymore or whatever the deal is. Like a pawn shop for bricks and figurines.
Or like Toy Story.
Okay. Yeah, look at that.
Look at those toys getting a second life.
Oh, my husband is like, I think he would spontaneously combust.
Why, save money or just to...
No, if I brought home more Legos.
Yeah, you need to stop where you're at now. Brittany, you have such a calming, quiet voice. Where are you calling from?
Maybe in the office.
Okay, is that what it is?
Okay, well, okay. There we go.
They're like, keep it down over there. You're talking.
I just thought, yeah, if we're going to give a shout out to Legos, I might as well.
Hey,
I like it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
If you want to see where toys go to die,
go down to the Imaginarium. I don't know the last time you guys were down there, 13th and Howard.
Okay.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the main floor, and then you can go down to the basement. Like if you're furnishing an apartment.
Yeah.
Imaginarium, you've been in there?
No, I think I've been to the top one, but it's been a long time.
It's across from O'Connor's.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
They've got everything. So all kinds of old used toys. They do have new toys, but there was a guy here at the office that was asking how much his old Star Wars figures were worth. And I was saying, I'm not an expert, but I think if once they're open, they're not worth anything.
Yeah, yeah.
They have a ton of toys down there, like in the Imaginarium. There's like a He-Man section where they have like 25 Castle Grayskulls.
Really?
Wow.
I want one.
50 TIE Fighters. I mean, all that stuff that you think has value doesn't have any value.
Yeah.
And the reason they have 50 Castle Grayskulls is because they don't sell.
Yeah, they don't sell.
And they're selling for like $20.
Really?
Wow. Okay.
I mean, everything's expensive. Been played with, though. I mean, so a lot of them look broken or missing pieces. Nothing's in the package, but...
But once they bring that He-Man series back, which I believe Netflix is doing, I guarantee you those Castle Grayskulls are going to start flying off the shelves. Because my biggest complaint about a lot of these new, like at least for the Star Wars toys, is that they don't have like the Kenner versions that you could play with. I mean, you can build an X-Wing fighter out of Legos, but like you can't get like the big X-Wing fighter like we all played with where you'd put the action figure in there. And so that's sort of like the rub. It's like, well, yeah, they want to play with
it. There's not a modern version of that?
No, not like that size. No, I mean, I've looked. I mean, because I really wanted the AT-AT, the AT-AT, you know, from Empire Strikes Back.
Only rich kids got that.
Well,
spoiled kids are the only child. The only child across the street had an AT-AT.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never had one growing up. I knew a rich kid that had one.
So Declan's going to be the AT-AT kid.
Well, I wanted to get one, but they don't. I mean, the closest we could get was the Legos. He built it with Legos, and within 2 days, so Molly, like, the face came off. I'm like, no.
You're such a toy nerd. You guys need to go. You all have Netflix, and you're whining about shows to watch. Watch The Toys That Made Us.
Yeah.
It's great.
Is it our generation?
It's the toys that you played with. So it's Star Wars. It's the whole background of how they were made. Like they got lucky, the company Kenner. Like nobody wanted to make toys for Star Wars.
Isn't that funny?
I mean, people lost jobs. People became millionaires.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Legos and toys. So.
I know. No. I mean, I get it. I can't even, like, I would go down the rabbit hole. I mean, it's so difficult, like, Fisher Price, any of that stuff, like, you go on Etsy or eBay, and there's, like, that huge secondary market. And, as an adult, it's like you realize that you're buying the toys that you like to play with.
That's absolutely
kids.
What it is. So they break down Star Wars, Barbie, He-Man, and G.I. Joe. And they're interviewing these old toy manufacturers. These guys are old gray-haired guys with glasses. Mm-hmm. This is the zenith of their career. I mean, and they're still fighting about who came up with He-Man.
And how it came up.
Or who came up with the Kung Fu Grip.
Yeah, I had the Kung Fu Grip, jeez.
The Kung Fu Grip.
Yeah. All right, 938-9400. We have a side call real fast. Ronnie, what's up, buddy? What can we do for you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I did see that series on Netflix, and it is awesome.
Oh, you did see it? Okay.
Yeah, but I'm actually calling about the seatbelt. I was a family support worker for 3 years in Lincoln. Now, I haven't done it in a couple years, but what I understood was state laws that you can't sit in the front seat until you're 12 years old, and you have to meet a certain weight. I think it's 120 pounds, and it's just due to the deadly force that the airbags will cause.
Yeah.
Now, in the back seat, they're required to wear a booster until the age of 8. And then I think it's 8. And then also, you know, under a certain age of 3, they have to have the rear-facing car seats, you know, hooked in appropriately. And then the other thing that was really phenomenal, you guys said that you didn't wear seatbelts in the back seat. We had to watch a video, and they broke down the death of Princess Diana. Now, if I remember correctly, and this would have been like 2013.
She was riding in the back seat window.
Yeah, and the vehicle was only going 40 to 50 miles an hour. And they said, like, in the 99.9 percentile, that she would have survived had she been wearing a seatbelt, like, with minor injuries. You have to remember that, you know, you're still traveling at the speed of the car when it stops. And so with no seatbelts, you just become a projectile.
Yeah.
And are dangerous to anybody in the front seat and anything that you hit. So it was pretty wild. And I actually drive for Uber part-time now. And we can cancel a ride if we pick people up and they have children and they don't have a proper restraints form. There's an option to cancel the ride, and one of the options is that there's no booster or car seat.
That must be an awkward exchange.
I know.
You know, I've never had to do it, thank God, but, you know, you got to err on the side of caution, and the reality is you're responsible for people once they enter your vehicle.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always recommend wearing seatbelts. I mean, err on the side of caution. And,
You might. Safe. I mean, it really only takes a second to put one on, right? So, all right.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Ronnie. Thanks, man.
Ronnie, okay, the Uber driver.
Ronnie! Well, yes, The Bachelor last night, you know, it was all craziness. It was after the rose, and the initial woman that Ari picked, Becca, got thrown over, and he re-proposed to Lauren.
Last night,
my God. It's like, as the world turns, it's total soap opera television. But the good news for Becca, she may have lost a potential ex-fiance. Well, he is an ex-fiance, but, like, you know, I mean, a fiance and possible marriage proposal. But she has been named the next Bachelorette. And last night, you know, the show's host, Chris Harrison, he announced her as the Bachelorette and even introduced her to a handful of her suitors, the men who will be vying for her attention. Hopefully she'll have a better chance or choice.
Better opportunity.
Better luck, hope.
Better luck.
Odds.
Thank you.
The two of them, Ari and Lauren, had to go on Jimmy Kimmel after. Yeah. And man, he really gave it to him.
It's a good sign for your future. If you're really, it doesn't seem like you're particularly critical.
No.
No. Oh. You could have married anybody, really. See, you guys are really in love. For sure this time.
For sure.
When he goes to a restaurant, does he say, I'll have the halibut, and then like 5 minutes later, he's like, hey, I want to change it to the chicken.
We haven't been to one yet.
You haven't been to a restaurant together? No. Oh, you should definitely get married right away.
They've never been to a restaurant together.
Wow.
How does
that is a recipe for amazing.
Even work.
I don't know what the appropriate level of mean to these people are. It's a TV show.
It is. Right.
Right. They all went on because they wanted to be on a TV show. They all wanted TV fame. But it is kind of painful watching them fake it.
Oh, it's just.
That's tough acting.
It's total faker jaker. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, you're watching this. You're like, I mean, really, are we supposed to buy in the fact that this is true love? Like, are you guys? I will believe it when they go through with it. Because what? How many people get engaged on The Bachelor? It's every season, except for like one, where the guy's like, I just didn't find it here. And that everybody was mad because he wouldn't pick a person to get engaged to. But every other season, somebody gets engaged. And how many weddings have we gotten out of this? How many actual couples? There's like the one that they trot out every season where it's like, look, and they got married and they've got
to give advice
kid.
And how to
I,
do it.
I watched, you know, 2 painful minutes of it last night. And that woman was bawling.
Oh, which
and
Becca?
They asked her, they go, you were really in love? The one who got dumped.
Okay, yeah, it's Becca. Yeah.
And she goes, it was true love. She said it was the greatest love, the terms they use.
Oh.
She goes, I was in love. I thought, how long were you two together? Like,
Well,
I know they're really good looking people, and in our youth, people fall very quickly, but I would think cynically, realistically, if I went on that show, your priorities change just from being on the show.
Yeah.
As a guy, your ego would change and go, God, I'm hotter than I thought.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're allowed to get on the show, and then you're on the show with, what, 30 beautiful women, and they're all falling for you?
How could you not have
an
ego?
How could you not be Ari and go, yeah, my priorities have kind of changed. I don't have to get married.
Right.
My stock has definitely gone up.
I just ran the gauntlet on all of you. Can I turn around and go to the start?
Right. Can I do this again? I didn't find love this time. Can we do another season? I want to sleep with 20. I mean, I want to get to know 20 more women.
They find lust.
It's true love.
I mean, I guess they know the template, but what could we do a show where they lock them in and we ratcheted up the sexual tension, but they are not allowed to fool around?
That would be...
How could you make some kind of love blender? The love blender. But I mean, they really ramp it up and...
Puree.
And then they can't, you know, so like the passion's real. Because they all sleep with each other on the first date.
They do. They're all making out.
Is that for sure? Do we know for sure that there's like...
They kind of imply it on the show, and they're always tonguing each other.
Why would you marry someone? I guess they're marrying each other who haven't...
I don't want to get
to a restaurant with the person.
I don't want to get too graphic, Molly, but as an adult, how many times did you go all the way to full on tonguing someone, and it just ended at kissing?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
I mean, it usually...
people
aren't that well-behaved and heavy passionate kissing, and then we're going to stop right there.
Takeaway method.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. See, hello. That was gross, by the way.
Some acting. Well, they had to go to her stand-up days on that one.
Ba-dum-boom.
I don't know what to think about it. It's true love, is it? I don't know.
Oh, it's
I mean, come on. She's like broken in half because of this whole thing, getting dumped. And then they introduce her as the next.
Well, here's...
And she's like, oh my God, it's going to be true love again.
Here's what I'm curious. Do the producers... What role do producers have in it? If we ask the fans, is Becca... If we would have dialed back 8 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago, whatever, and asked the fans... Who's the next Bachelorette? Was it Becca? How high was she from number one, or was she the number one? What I'm wondering are, do producers try and pick and then go to Ari and go,
Probably. We
want Becca for next year,
so make her
your two or your three, but we want you to dump her.
I guarantee you that this is absolutely.
It went the way people would have called
candidate,
it.
Sort of like that they probably, when they sat down with all the headshots of these women, they're like, listen, these are probably our final three.
Okay.
But what we want to do is keep in mind that they have editing. They have editing rights. So like they can edit her story to manipulate you into being more vested.
Oh, geez.
And maybe somebody else who would have been a bachelorette doesn't get as much screen time, and as an audience member, I don't get to know her as well, so obviously I'm not pulling for her. They absolutely pull the strings on her.
Mean thing that those East Coast fraternities always do where they pick, they all pick the two. What do they call those parties?
The two. What do you mean?
I'm saying they don't pick the A-list girl on purpose.
Oh, dog fight? Are you talking about the dog fight?
Ah, so
well, there's like dog fight or like there's
we
the,
need a guy to go on The Bachelor and fight the system.
Oh,
and
wouldn't that be awesome?
Pick the girl he knows they don't want.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Pick the crazy one and run her through.
Well, and then
say,
that's the
I love
thing.
Her.
And they'll put him through the ringer in the editing room. They'll be like, let's just absolutely burn this house down.
Do they ever get a moment of privacy away from mics and cameras to whisper in each other's ears and be like, I'm going to pick you. Let's take this to the end. Let's act. It's acting anyway.
Why
like
would
Big
you?
Brother where I think you start making crazy. Alliances?
Yeah, you be crazy. I want you to go all in crazy and I'm going to fall in love with you. And let's prank the show.
I think that would be an awesome. They must know somehow. We got Dirty Pete here. Hello. Dirty Pete?
Molly, I'd like to profess my love to you.
Dirty Pete, this is not an appropriate.
That's all you got.
You're getting
He's
fired.
Weak Pete.
He's little Pete.
I wasn't dirty.
Little Pete.
That was not dirty.
Not worthy of a
that
repeat.
No,
was
it's not.
Sweet.
All right, if you were a fan, you sat through the whole thing.
You got all nervous and hung up.
I know. That's what it is. That wasn't dirty. No, now look at it. Don't blush.
That was embarrassing. He's like, I can't believe I told that dragon.
If you're a fan of the show, you watch the whole dang thing. I just want your thought on the whole thing of how it went down. Are you broken? I mean, because think about this. If Lauren didn't get proposed to, she would be the next bachelorette. But now she's stuck with Ari.
Well, I mean, they could have only taken one bachelorette, Becca and Lauren. So one of them would have had to become a sad cat lady.
Yeah.
Now remember, love is real. Those two have never even been to a restaurant together.
It's so real.
I know. It's obviously real love.
All right. The number's in to call 938-9400.
From the Eat Fit Go Studio.
This is the Big Party Show on Omaha's number one hit music station.
Channel 94.1.